Hallais, og velkommen til Lise plus vin eller sant, en podcast om naturlig vin og menneskene bak. Jeg heter Lise Ånes. Kjære lytter av Lise plus vin eller sant, jeg har skrevet bok, og den heter Naturvin. Hvis du liker podden, tror jeg du kommer til å like boka også. Den finnes på Ark og Nordli, og kan bestilles på naturvinboka.no. På den nettsiden finner du også informasjon om fremtidige vinkurs, boksigneringer og andre gøy. Uansett, tusen takk nok en gang for at du hører på. Her månedens episode.
Obviously, we are visited by a really wonderful winemaker here today, Fabien Joux. Just wanted to say welcome to this wine tasting and wine chat. If you haven't already, we will be discussing Fabien's wines during this conversation. And so if you want to taste his wines while we're talking, you can get yourself some wine in the bar. With that guy, Christo, who is your wine guy for tonight. And for those of you who don't know, we're also recording a live podcast session today. So the idea is obviously to have the conversation with the winemaker, but also to make the podcast listeners feel like they really should have been there. So if you can be a great audience and give me a big cheer. Yes, dear listener who's listening later, you should have been here. There's lots of people here, I promise. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Lisa. I have been working with natural wine exclusively since 2018. And I used to have a wine bar here in Oslo called Esaias. Rest in peace, no longer alive. But maybe you were there and had some wine before. And I'm also a wine journalist. I wrote a column for D2 Magazine, and I've written this book about natural wine over there, which is called Naturvin. So if you want to learn more about natural wine and you're not tired of listening to me talk after all of this, then you can also buy my book. And this is part of a podcast called Lise plus vin eller sant, which is a podcast about natural wine that you can find on Spotify and Apple iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts, as they say. And with me today, I have Fabien Joux, who is a winemaker from the southwest of France in an area called Cahors. And you've been to Norway a few times now. Is it your fourth time, maybe?
Hi, and yes, it's a fourth time.
And then, obviously, tomorrow, for those of you who don't know, there is a big wine fair called the Natural Wine Fair of Norway, or Naturvinmessa, which is happening at Doga. So this is also part of the wine fair warm-up, let's say. And then there's an after-party tonight at Beko. So if you want to drink more wine, we can all go to Beko. And I wanted to talk to you, Fabien, a little bit about your wines and your life as a winemaker, and also a little bit about the philosophy about of your wines, and maybe also your visions for the natural wine movement going forward. Let's see how much time we have. But first of all, I think everybody actually should just get some bubbles in their glass, because I know from experience that I am more fun if you've all had some wines. So it will be a little more entertaining for you to listen to me if you start drinking now. So Fabien, welcome to Norway and to the podcast.
Thank you.
So we obviously had a little chat before starting the show, but tell me a little bit about, well, first of all, why did you start making wine?
Hello everybody. I make wine since now 19 years old. I am a son of old family of winemaker of a farmer. I decided to make wine in 2022 after a study of a scientific way. And at the beginning, I went just to me medicine. It's what the chemical was and the mathematic was my passion. I was just single. My parents have just one son, me, and I was just the only person who could continue the winery. And at the beginning, I don't want to make wine, but I think when you're son of a farmer, you
are farmer. You felt the pressure, kind
of. You are farmer, and I decided to try what is making wine. And I go to Bordeaux, and I discover people very beautiful. It's a people from Southwest. It was not Bordeaux people, but it was other people like me who go to Bordeaux to study wine. And I was very happy to discover this person who, for me, give conviviality, a friendly moment to discover the wine. And it's this style and this moment who give me the passion of wine. Is not just the wine when you taste, when you drink it, it's all the atmosphere around the wine. And I come back to the winery in 2006, 4 years after the study, and I begin to make my wine. I begin in 2006.
So you were telling me also before that your family traditionally have been growing the wine or the grapes, but then selling them to what is called négociation, so cooperatives where you sell your grapes and then bigger wineries buy the grapes from the cooperative and then they make their wine here. So you are the first person in your family to make your own wine.
Yes, it was a tradition in Southwest. There is Southwest was one of the more old region to make wine in France. But after Phylloxera, we lose population.
Phylloxera is just to explain for those who don't know, it's a small bug that eats the root of the wine plant, and it almost killed off the entire wine industry in all of Europe in the 1800s.
And after Phylloxera, we lose many wine grower, paysans. It was a polyculture at the beginning, there was not the population to drink all the wine we make, and many of the winemaker who rebuild the appellation Cahors. The appellation Cahors is born in 1971. Don't have the customers to sell the wine, and the négociant of Bordeaux buy many wines of our appellation to sell, to blend and sell after to supermarkets. And it's at this time where we lose our authenticity. Maybe we will speak after, but we lose the real style of Cahors, and we begin to make not very, very good wine. And my parents, like other many winemakers, make this style of wine because people just ask you have to make this style of wine and I will buy you. Not very expensive, but this. And me, when I come back to the winery, I was the first to bottling wine with a different philosophy, with a more simple philosophy, but more real philosophy, to just make wine for people who want to drink good wine. And that's it.
How did your parents react to the fact that you wanted to make this other style of wine? Did they endorse it or were they skeptical?
No, it's okay. We was when I began to make wine, it was very difficult. It's after 2000 in Cahors, there was a big crisis of wine, and the price of wine of Cahors in Vrac was very, very cheap. For example, we sell the wine before 1.3 euros a liter, 8 francs, and after 0.5 euros the liter, 3 francs. And this was a very difficult moment. And when I arrived in 2006, the price was 0.5 euros. And my parents are very cool with me to say, you come back to the winery, you want to be another job, you come back, you do what you want. And I discover some winemaker who changed my mind completely. I drink, when I produced my first wine in the table, my bottle was here, my Malbec, and I have other super winemaker, now it's a superstar of natural wine, like this. Mm. Maybe Eric Pfifferling in Langlore. This bottle was here. And in 5 minutes, we drink Tavel. My bottle, just drink the half. And this make me a trouble. And I say, okay, Fabien, you are completely outside. You would like to drink this style of wine, and you produce this style of wine because this tradition, there is a problem. And I say to my parents, we have to go in this direction, because if not, we are dead. We are like the other winemaker, we will dead. And my parents say, okay, do what you want and we follow you. We are dead. Don't go in this direction and do what you want. And we do this.
Amazing. And I guess we can start briefly, because everybody has some wine in their glass and they don't want to drink it until we tell them to. So, Sante, cheers. And let's take a break from talking about your history as a winemaker to talk about the wine.
Yep.
What is in our glass?
This is it's a sparkling, pet nat. I begin to make this pet nat in 2016, maybe, because I drink a lot of pet nats. And all my range, it's always what I have drink, what I have, what all the people and the winemaker I have meet, I always inspire.
You're inspired by them?
Yeah, mm-hmm. By them, because I'm autodidact in Cahors, but for our other with other style of wine, it's not my tradition, and I need to drink, and I am a good drinker, and when I drink something who is good for my body, I want to produce myself, and it's why in 16 I produce pet nat, somnambule blanc and somnambule rosé, and with different grape. And just to make my bubbles to drink when I could, the morning, the afternoon, the night. For me, it's a drink. It's a when you
pas de soif.
Every time, yeah. And maybe it's like a medicament for me when I speak this afternoon. When you drink a lot, and you want to go to home. This to finish this drink is like a medicament. It's give you the good road to go to home, and for your body is very good, because it's with many CO2 inside and freshness. It's good after tannin and body wine. It's good.
Yeah, it's really beautiful, and it's a good day for it as well.
Yeah.
I'm not sure How many... So nobody on the podcast obviously can see you guys. So don't be shy. Hands up how many of you have had Pet Nat before, this style of wine. Okay, so then I assume a few people are not entirely sure what it is. So I can just quickly explain what we're drinking, or would you like to?
Yeah.
Pet Nat is a sparkling style of wine. Unlike, for example, Champagne or Prosecco, it does not have to be produced in a specific area of the world to be called what it is. A Champagne has to be produced in Champagne area of France, and Prosecco in Prosecco in Italy, and so on. Pet Nat can be produced everywhere in the world, and it's become a catch-all phrase for naturally produced sparkling wine. And it can come in all colors, made from all different kinds of grapes, but the common denominator is that you have to ferment it only using grape must, or ferment it with only a single fermentation. So that means that you cannot add sugar, add yeast, or add anything else but the wine itself, which is also sort of the definition of natural wine, which we'll come back to, I guess, if somebody wants to. I also wrote a book about it, by the way. It's 328 pages long, so you can also read that. But yeah, that is Pet Nat. And here also you work with Malbec?
Yeah, it's a blend of Malbec and Muscat de Hambourg.
Which are grapes, if you don't know that.
Yeah. Sorry?
No, which are names of grapes. I learned this lesson when I had the wine bar, and I had stuff, and she was amazing, but she never worked with wine before. I was great, okay. So that wine is a Chardonnay, and she's like, oh, Chardonnay, that's an area of France, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then, of course, no, it's a grape, but who? Everybody knows.
For Malbec, all the people think that it's from Argentina.
Because Malbec from Argentina is kind of how we know Malbec in Norway, I find.
Heavy.
Yeah, strong.
Mm.
Body. No, it's a grape from Cahors, from the Romance. And Muscat de Hambourg, it's a grape I find in the south of Cahors, in Coteau du Quercy. It's a grape to eat at the beginning. But very like a senso, but with a muscat style. It's very easy to eat, and I like the blend of the both, because there is a texture of the Malbec and the water and the aromatic of the senso. And it's a wine very fresh and easy drinkable. The Pet Nat rosé, somnambule rosé, because it's a low alcohol and many water inside. It's a style I have since 16, where I see the vines changing and the roots absorption changing. Now we have no many concentration in the wine. It's more a drink. And good for the body, and not an exercise of style of wine.
Mm.
Me, we are now, I think our wine are less and less simple, and more wine for table, for people who just want to be together.
Mm.
It's not it's not a wine you want to drink. It just a wine in a dinner or a lunch. It's just an aliment with other, you know, because it's very simple. And me, more and more, maybe it's the tradition and the knowledge I have had with boom, 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 Bordeaux style.
Mm.
And now we are the contrary. Completely. Now I just want water with infusion of flavor.
Mm.
It's
easy drinking fresh.
Yeah, and simple.
But this is what I have actually heard a few winemakers say, exactly what you were saying in the beginning, how they noticed that the wines that they enjoyed drinking wasn't the wine that they were producing themselves.
Yeah.
And this is how I was feeling as well, and why I turned to natural wine, because I found myself trying to learn about the big appellations and the stuff that I should be liking, but then I found myself not enjoying to drink that very much. And so I came to this style of natural wine. So I had a question earlier, what is natural wine? So I guess we can have that conversation briefly as well, seeing as the podcast listeners have been through this topic a few times. So if you're listening to this at home, you've heard it a few times. But let's talk about it quickly, because first of all, a lot of vignerons have this problem with the definition natural wine. Do you like to talk about yourself, or do you talk about yourself as a natural winemaker, or do you shy away? Because I can see from all your website, social media, that you don't use the word natural wine.
Yeah, it's. I think there is a problem of the word.
Yes.
Natural wine is there is a big, big problem. We make wine with no many chemical, with zero chemical inside. Since many years, since 2011, our wine without sulfates added was in 2011, and we never. This world of natural wine was not exist at this moment, but after I think with communication and some movement, this is coming, and now this world is used by everybody, and now with a big negotiations, we use nature or. Yeah, and this make confusion for the people. I think nature is not what we have to promote. It's just if the wine is good for your body, as you want to drink it, as if the next morning you're not you have not problem with your head. This is good. Do you want to drink it? This is good. After there is a superlative, there is a word to be different than the other. But I think now this word is could be not good for the promotion of the good wine.
Yeah, I agree. It's a difficult term. So. Just to quickly debunk what we just talked about, or pick apart what we just talked about, the natural wine movement is about making wines that are not added anything to. So when we started making wine approximately 8,000 years ago, we had grapes, we crushed them, they fermented, and it was wine. Voila, it was magical, and it still is kind of magical. But like the rest of agriculture, like with food, we have had this big discussion in Norway the last couple of years about ultra-processed foods, which are not foods, but that are mostly other ingredients that we are not really food. And the same we have with wine. So today, wine is not mostly made from grapes, or there is grape material, but it's also added a lot of other things. Sugar, acids, colors.
Yeah. I think... to promote the contrary, to promote natural wine, I think the winemaker who use chemical have to put it on the label. I think there is a problem of communication.
Because today you don't have to add an ingredients list to any alcoholic beverage. So alcoholic beverages can be full of anything, and you don't know. Whereas with food, you have to put the ingredients list. And so if you had to put the ingredients list on wine, most people wouldn't buy the wine that they buy today, because it's full of other stuff than grapes.
Everybody thinks wine is natural, but if they know what there is inside, they don't drink.
Yeah.
And I think it's the people who make chemical wine who have to pay our label, our certification to say us to give us the certification because we just use grape fermented and bottling. I think we are wrong in the war. I think they have to pay for us. But after it's a big problem because there is many money with a.
Yeah, the wine natural. No, the regular wine lobby, the alcohol lobby is very strong, and so this is not gonna happen anytime soon. And with regards to the difficulty of what we should call this other style of wine, which is not made with chemicals, we have as a world landed on the word natural wine, vin naturel or naturvin. But the problem with this is that a lot of people have ideas about that natural wine should taste weird, difficult to understand, look weird, taste quote unquote funky, and then they do not want to drink it. However, one of the biggest points in all of my writing about natural wine is that natural wine doesn't have a taste. It is just a way to make wine, and it can taste weird and crazy because some do, but they can also taste super straight. And actually a lot of some of the most famous appellations in the world are, and especially in France, are made with natural winemaking techniques, which is just focusing on the fruit and treating the soil and the plants as well as possible so that the fruit will be good and so the wine will be good and you don't have to add a lot of stuff. Like Romane de Conti, for example, which is a great example of a super famous natural winemaker who will never ever call themselves a natural winemaker.
But after they could.
They could, of course.
Because it's expensive, but yeah.
It's very expensive.
But after I think this is a very a small part of a winemaker, but they promote they promote the natural wine and the style without communication, but I think. After natural wine could be some testing of natural wine could be negative for the community because sometimes there is many problem on some bottle and I have make some very bad bottle and this for me looks like a winemaker who use chemical because you never smell the vintage, the winemaker, the region. It could be everything like a chemical wine. And I think now with the knowledge of wine, the winemaker could be more precise on the vinification, on the aging, on the microbiology, and in the bottling, in the storage of the wine, the temperature control, and the customers who buy the wine too. When you buy a natural wine or wine without sulfite, you don't put the wine in a hot temperature storage. You do this, and I think with the time there is a difference between the natural wine science. 2010 and now it's better and this is good for the community.
We forgot about this. Well done, Christer. We've prepared some information about the wine, so if you like the wine that you're tasting and you want to buy it at home, then they're all at the Wine Monopoly. And for those who are listening to the podcast, I'll put the information in the show notes. So we got to talk about this wine because I'm dying to drink it and everybody else is too. But okay, let's do that and we'll pick up the... I want to talk more about this. But first, tell me about the wine that we have in our glass now.
This is a vin de soif. When I begin to make my cave wine, Cahors, in southwest of France, north of Toulouse, with Malbec. When I begin to open a door to visit a restaurant and a cavist, I have a problem to do the testing. People don't want to drink it because for them, Cahors was very rich and heavy and need time to be drink. And in 2010, I decide to make vin de soif, glue style.
Yeah, easy to drink. Vin de soif means wine for the thirst. So, belle med vin, eller rett I nebbe vin, eller hva man skal kalle det på norsk. Rough translation in Norwegian.
I make a wine with carbonic maceration.
Which is a style of winemaking where you take the whole clusters of the grape instead of taking the grape from the cluster, you take the whole thing, just cut off the stem in the wine thing, and then I'm not going to explain enzymatic fermentation. It's a different style that creates light wines. Read about it there's a book about it, by the way, and it's right here.
and just to make very easy red. And this part of wine gave me a chance to introduce Malbec with more body and minerality to cavists and restaurants. Now, it's my first step to introduce my style in Cahors for people. And it's a more glue style. It's a Malbec, Merlot and Gamay. It's a blend, just to make 1 week of fermentation. It's very simply bottling after 6 months of aging in concrete.
Is it full carbonic or semi-carbonic?
It's semi-carbonic. It's not a carbonic dry.
Because you don't
dry.
Do you no. put the lid or
zero,
no? Open?
Zero, yeah.
Open
lid? No. It's closed, but it's with many juice.
Okay.
Because Malbec, after some days of maceration, make juice because the skin is light and there is many water inside and
so the weight will
yeah and it's more Burgundy maceration but without a pigeage and an extraction.
Sorry, geeky. Moving on.
Yeah. and this blend make it could be changed year after year because. For me, it's a style of wine of glue. It's not a terroir wine. After we will drink a terroir. It's just I speak about this afternoon. It's when you go in a discotheque, there is different place and one place play this music and another place play this music and it's not the same moment. Eh bien, for my wine, it's the same thing. Vin de soif, it's very. Funky, cool music when you dance and you drink a lot. Vin de terroir is more music with more intellectual, more precise when you have time, like a meditation, you know, more inside wine. And it's two style of wine. And this is more
party wine.
Party wine.
Okay, well, cheers, guys. And let's hear it for the podcast listeners. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you. All right, so jumping back into where we left our conversation, I don't want to discuss that too much because I do want to talk about other stuff, but what I will say is that I think for a while, especially as natural wine as a brand or whatever was gaining momentum, like 2018, 2020, I think natural, if you called something natural wine, if you had a wine that was full of wine faults, it was a wine from a winemaker who was not, you know, new, starting to learn, not making maybe the most stable wine, it was mousy, would have other faults. If you were like, oh, it's a natural wine, it's supposed to be like this, then people would just buy it. And I feel also maybe that has created a problem now where we see that natural wine does not equal a bad wine. Do you see what I mean? Yeah. Like this is causing a problem with the reputation of bad of natural wine.
I totally agree. There is a big problem of sometimes of style of wine, and with wine alive with the style of wine, the winemaker have to be more precise, and to be more precise, he have to know everything about the microbiology and chemical of the transformation of the wine.
The fermentation process.
It's so easy to say, I just take my grape, beautiful, put in vats, and after the company who make the transformation of sugar in alcohol is not my problem. And if there is a defaut, volatile or mousy, it's because it's natural. This is not a good way of for me of wine. I think the best natural wine, it's a wine you don't know it's natural wine, you know? And the more important in the natural wine is everybody, where are you from, what you drink, where what you eat every day, you could drink everything. It's not for some people, geek, who like defaut, who have to drink this style of wine. Natural wine or life wine or good wine is for everybody.
Hear, hear. Alright, I realize we have been talking for a long time because it's now actually 6:30, so there's so many things I would like to discuss with you, but I think we should narrow it down to, I'm curious, you obviously inherited your the vines of your parents. Did you plant anything in addition to that yourself? Or
Yeah. I plant many vines.
How old are your vines in average?
Wow, it's a very old vineyard. It's average 35 years old.
Hmm.
But we have vines at 60 years old to 1 years old. But I think we, with my team, my beautiful team, we remake the old vineyard of the history before Phylloxera with very new new old grape like Jurançon Noir, Valdiguier, Gibert, Noual, and conservatory of 13 other grape to maybe find some good grape for tomorrow. And I think the future of Cahors is to come back in the past with more maybe rustic grape, but autochthon grape and singular
yeah.
grape.
Singular
because
grape.
When you want to drink a wine of my region, you drink grape from our region, not grape imported from other part of France. If not, it's like I say with other wine, it's a Coca-Cola. You can make what you want everywhere. There is not a terroir.
So let's introduce the last wine that we have here, and then we'll talk a little bit more, I think, about your where you see yourself going forward. But first of all, what this is your terroir wine that you brought for today's
tasting? This is the more serious wine in the also
smells more like Malbec.
yeah. It's alors I make this Malbec since 2007. Seven is my first vintage of Parcellaire. When I begin to make wine, I decided to make wine by parcel because Malbec wine is from different terroirs, have different expression. And I decided to make in my cru village, Les Escures, like this, from Kimmeridge and Limestone. And for me, this This wine is a more pure expression of Malbec on the good vegetal, licorice, menthol, fresh style. And after 15 years of biodynamic farming, I think there is the saltiness and the freshness of the soil, and there is not fatness, sweetness, blah, blah, blah about Argentinian Malbec. It's a very simple wine. It's what I explained for a table. This is very simple wine to drink, to say, okay, it's Malbec. There is some body, freshness, but it's good. And your body could drink. And it's 11.5 alcohol. It's not heavy. It's not rich. This is simple wine for simple person who want to drink wine.
But it's a beautiful wine, though. Mm. It's really lovely. I haven't tasted this before. Mm. Wow. How do you? Obviously, your climate is warm and getting warmer. But you are also quite high up. You're quite high altitude, yeah. No? How high are you?
350 meters.
Mm.
In
how do you preserve the freshness? Do you pick early or do
you? No, I pick early because it's
because it's so fresh and it really tricked me on the nose there because it's like ooh and then but you
it's
taste
a,
it.
It's a combination of many things, and I have explained this. For me, I discover my terroir. I discover my culture of wine. 15 years of biodynamic farming is nothing. 20 years of organic farming is nothing. I think we could have a changement of climate. I think with the wine growing, with agriculture, we could compense a little the speedy of the changement. Limestone is a basic terroir of the appellation of my higher place of appellation. There is clay with limestone. There is sometimes in the deepness many clay, and this clay keep the water of the rain and of the rain of the year. 15 years of biodynamic farming give accessibility for the roots of the vines who are in the deepness to go to this water, keeping in the clay. I think this is just supposition. It's just my experience, my vision, my empirism of wine growing. These roots take just the water with the mineral salt of the limestone, because there is not molecule or chemical process who kill or stop this mineral sedimentation and mineralization. And the water is directly absorbing by the roots, go in the grape, and give this flavor, and with the water to make dilution to the alcohol of the sugar in the grape directly. And I think in the cellar, we don't make shit. We just put the grape, put in the vats, test every day, do infusion, maceration like a tea. We just are people who make tea, I think. And when the body is good for us, and for my vision, every vintage is different because every vintage make a grape different with a different balance. I say, okay, for me, the maceration of my tea is good, my infusion of tea is good. I have to press it and just aging simply in concrete vats for les escures. And after bottling, after 6-9 months for and after sell after, but just to make good wine simply always. And after I think in my knowledge, I have the knowledge of my family who I want to make the best yield I could And if I harvest at the good moment when the fruit is beautiful, round, rich in water, I think it's the best for me because I produce more. And if I search concentration with deshydration, I will have more alcohol and it will be not same balance. That's it.
I think we do need to think about wrapping up soon. So I was thinking if anybody has any questions, you can have a think about if you have any questions. You can drink your wine really quickly so that you're brave enough to ask the question that you potentially have. And while people are finding the courage to maybe ask a question or two, I want to hear finally, where do you see yourself and your winery in 10 years? And also, what do you think the next 10 years or the future in general holds for the natural wine movement? Big question, go.
Now?
Yes, I'm curious, yes, now.
Now, it's difficult to be tomorrow is difficult with this climate which is changing very speedily all the year. I think it's important to be alive this year. In 10 years, I was not good vision of in 10 years. I think our work will change a lot. It's what I speak to you. I think our country will lose many places with hot temperature, and I think our work will change a lot. After, I'm a little optimist with our agriculture, who keep the water and stock CO2. But after, when we do one step, China and US kill us in 1 second. And it's difficult to be optimist, but I think we will do the best. But at this moment, in 10 years, I don't know where I will be. Tomorrow, maybe in Oslo for the testing.
Yes, I'm a little more optimistic for you and your winery, but I hope you'll be making wines in 10 years.
No, in 10 years, I'm sure I will make wine, but I don't know how and how many. Mm. It's difficult I am winemaker in science 18 years. I see a big evolution of wine. I think in 10 years, it will be crazy. Crazy, crazy. It's difficult to see tomorrow. It's changing a lot and very speedy.
True, I agree. I do have high hopes for the popularization of natural wine will lead to more biodynamic or at least organic farming overall, though, which is, I think, a good thing. Regardless of whether the winemaker ends up doing anything in the cellar or not.
I don't
know. More biodynamic farming is a good thing.
For me, organic will be the normality. Mm. Because now with a technical, the technique of wine growing, there is people who know very well what is the mushroom and what is the contamination and the technology of spray is good. Mm. It's a good technology for material of spray. There is people who could work in the vineyard. You are not just one or two person to work in a vineyard normally. So you have people to work. And I think now chemical I hope the information for the people, the drinker, maybe in the few years will be helpful to help the organic situation. After biodynamic, it's another step.
For sure.
And after wine without added chemical, it's another step. But I think it's more easy to find natural wine, wine without sulfites, with big industry wine than biodynamic big industry wine. I think now natural wine sometimes don't control the organic certification. Sometimes just for some people, natural is not just not added sulfites.
Yeah,
and
true.
The vines are destroyed. I think it's more easy to find this, but I think it will be more and more normal in the few years. It's sure.
I hope so. All right, guys. I think we need to wrap up soon because I know you have a table reservation at a fancy restaurant, and the sun is still out. We can all go outside for a glass of wine or a beer. Does anybody have any questions for me or Fabien? No? You haven't had enough wine? All right. Well, in that... Oh, look! Hello, stranger!
I think you need to repeat the question, though, to get it on the recording. But when you make the wine, who do you... So I work in product development, and I kind of... You have to think about who you're making this product for. And then do you imagine who your ideal drinker is? Like, is it yourself? Is it someone in your local community? Or would you imagine some poor person sitting up in the north of Norway in the middle of winter that needs a little joy? Like, who do you make wine for?
Okay, so the question from Martin, the stranger at the front row, who I don't know, unrelated, of course. Who do you make your wine for? Do you have a person in mind when you make your wine? Is it yourself, someone you love, or do you envision, I want to make this wine for a dude in north of Norway?
No, it's a mix of the three. The skeleton, the body, for me is my vision of wine. Is the grape and what my intention want to make. It's an expression I use every time. It's the education I could give to my child. He have a character, I have to follow his character and to board it, to not make to my child a bad person. But I want him to be free. It's difficult. I want to be free, but I control him sometimes, you know? After, I want not to give him my education to be just a look like of me. This is I just make the wine for people who want to drink this. And after, for the other country where we sell the wine, because we sell the wine in more in other countries than France, I think I do my best to make simply wine. And for me, simply wine is not bad, simply for me. It's very difficult to make simple wine for everybody. More social wine without religion. It's very important. It's just like your child to speak to this person, this person, this person, without problem, without idea. And I think I try to make all of three. But it's a very good question. It's a question, but because it's a creation, like a singer, like a artist, like a painter, like a écrivain, writer. It's what you say, what you do, what you make. It's one of part of you, but it's for everybody. Is that good?
That is a beautiful answer. And I think unless anybody has other questions, that is a really great way to end the podcast. So thank you so much, Fabio, for, bless you, for talking to me. Could we give a round of applause?
Thank you very much.
And thank you, Christer, for helping out. And thank you, Patrick and Soon, for letting us be here. We're at Soon Gamlebyen. And thank you, Magnus and Ida, who are organizing the Natural Wine Fair, that's happening tomorrow. And that's it for us. Thank you so much. Merci.
Thank you, too. Bye.
Som alltid, tusen takk til mine fantastiske gjester. Tusen takk til Marius Vabo som har laget logoen til podcasten og Hans-Andreas Låke som har laget musikken. Har du lyst til å lære enda mer om naturvin? Hvis du blir medlem og betaler 30 kroner I måneden så får du tilgang til alt bonusmateriale. Lær mer på shows.acast.com/lisevinsant.